Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside.
Yes, ma'am. You can ask me, and then if she wants to come up and answer it, she will.
Have either you or the first lady received a grand jury presentment, and what did it say about the role of Florida?
I haven't received anything, but, you know, I think we said at the beginning it was a political op, it was a hoax. And now that, you know, we're at this point, clearly that was true. You know, our agencies, acted in ways that were legally sound and appropriate. That's just the fact. And the fact that, you know, you wouldn't even have opened one with DOJ, there was no basis to even do it, I think is really, really telling.
So, while I was on vacation for a couple of days, Governor DeSantis decided to go out on the basis of an anonymous source report that the Department of Justice had declined to call for an investigation into the Hope Florida Foundation Medicaid repayment James Uthmeyer scandal, okay? What Alex Andrade, our state representative, has repeatedly called money laundering and wire fraud. And this report had come out that the Department of Justice, so that's the feds, were not investigating this. And, of course, DeSantis jumped on that and said, see, everything's fine, nothing to see here, move along, you know, like Frank Drebin. meanwhile, things are blowing up in the background. Nothing to see here. So the person at this particular press conference, which was on Thursday, I have to do my math a little bit, on Thursday asked, you know, because Casey DeSantis was there, and can we ask the First Lady a question? And he's like, you can ask me and then we'll see how it goes. And they asked, and he said, no, I don't think we're going to let you talk to her right now. And it was all partisan. It was all political attacks. It was all a political operation, no indictment. So first of all, the facts, as we know them at this moment, okay? So, you know, Tuesday morning, the 10th of February at 6:11 a.m. The Department of Justice, what's the rule typically with the feds? They typically don't comment on stuff, right? They don't say one way or the other. And they haven't. As far as I know, the Department of Justice hasn't said one way or the other what's going on. So this anonymous source reporting on a, you know, I know somebody. Okay, I mean, it could turn out to be true. I'm not saying reporters do a bad job. I just, you know, we don't know. And there's no official statement. So we don't know whether there's going to be any federal indictment related to all of this. Second thing, is that all there is to it? No, because there is a grand jury convened Pinellas County, I think is correct. I have to do a quick check and see if that's right. That is looking into this actively, and they have not finished their work. So to pretend, which I know they're very eager to do, that this $10 million side payment that wound up in the hands of two political action committees overseen by James Uthmeyer, now the attorney general at the time, his chief of staff, that was nothing, that money didn't need to go to the state, didn't need to go back to pay for, you know, part of a Medicaid settlement with Centene or whatever. You know, like, to pretend that none of that is irregular, even though the board members of the Hope Florida Foundation barely knew what was going on, if at all, you know, there's been a lot of drama around this story. But to pretend that it's not a story and that it's all over is, at best, premature. It may turn out to be true. The grand jury might not indict anybody. The feds might not have an investigation. All this might be gone in a year. Who knows? But for them to pretend like it's all over is a mistake. And in his very typical way, and keep in mind, if you're new to the show, I have been an avid DeSantis supporter for years. In the course of the last year, he's lost me because of a variety of things. This, some of the stuff surrounding how he's, you know, interacted with our local university and Pensacola State College. There's been a couple of other things. I still think a lot of what he does is good, and a lot of what he did was fantastic, but it's a lot of bad stuff too, you know, and he's not 100% against, you know, nobody's 100% one or the other. I'm just saying that when it comes to some of these things, he's really showing a different side that I find very distasteful. And the idea of anybody who criticizes me is part of the liberal media establishment, anybody who criticizes me is not a real Republican, this is all just political hackery, you know, woe is me, they're just all out to get me. Well, sir, you know, I'm a conservative, and I try to tell the truth, and I'm not out to get you except when you start lying about stuff that, you know, or misrepresenting things that I think are pretty clear. But here goes. Here's the rest of what he said.
It was all a political scam, and there was a political agenda. And it was obviously you have very partisan media who do this type of thing. But you also had some of these rhino Republicans in the legislature.
If you have a drinking game you're playing, drinking bingo with, you know, political catchphrases, rhino Republicans and smear campaigns and liberal media. I mean, it's just it's so weak.
Who were trying to do this. And, you know, part of it was just to try to smear the First Lady by implication. She wasn't involved in any of the settlement or any of that. I mean, that's just not nonsense. But, you know, the media will try to do that because it's just trying to get clicks and trying to smear.
Okay, John, you've heard me talk about this extensively, and I can only talk for myself, but have I ever mentioned Casey DeSantis in this context except to say that she's not involved in it?
You've never said that.
Yeah, never, because she's not. It just it's the Hope Florida Foundation. It just doesn't have anything to do. I mean, it's like there's no, you know, no issue. So I don't drag her into this at all. It's James Uthmeyer. That's the key player from the DeSantis administration, the fact that Governor DeSantis is now, you know, covering up for all of that stuff or pretending like it's not a story. That's the issue.
So I think like any of the coverage was typically horrific, and it was agenda-driven. But this, we obviously knew this. This was an attempt at lawfare to be able to do. What does that say about some of the people who are in this process that they're trying to do weaponization, even on the Republican side? That's the thing. When you have a supermajority, they're really not all Republicans, right? I mean, they have their own agendas. And so that's kind of what we've seen on this.
So now Alex Andrade is not a real Republican. I mean, because you say so. Because you're the barometer. Well, it could be that, you know, somebody in your administration got caught with their hands in the cookie jar using Medicaid repayment money for a political campaign in what to every neutral observer looks like a violation of at least ethics, if not law. And you're now attacking people who raise the question like they're political attacks, it's all a smear campaign, and they're not really Republicans because they dare to care about, I don't know, the law. So that's not going to cut it. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. I-10, I-110, 90-98. Everything is looking good, but a dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. this morning. So please slow down and take your time. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And by the way, would it surprise you to know that this got worse before it got better? Because it did.
Oh,
it got-
boy. Oh, no.
Before I share that with you, because, oh, yeah, there's always more for me. I don't ever, you know, it's never that quick. Anyway, before we get to that, if you have employees, you have benefits, you have health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all that stuff, you know, the stuff that is not the fun part. You know, that's not the cake and frosting part of your job, right? That's the stuff you have to do because, you want to, but it's not enjoyable. Well, there are some people who actually enjoy doing that, the folks at Torgerson Consulting. You know, they went into business to do the stuff that you hate to do, and they like doing it, and they're good at it. We've been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for 5 years, and they're very, very good at it. They are not miracle workers. The marketplace is what it is. That's terrible. They cannot, you know, make the unicorn show up. They don't exist anymore. But what they can do is find the best plans and give us choices and make it so that we have confidence knowing that whatever is available, we have the best of what's available. And I do have that. And they answer our questions. My wife is an engineer. She asks a lot of detailed questions, and they always have good answers, or they find them either way, but fantastic customer service. More than 20 years helping local businesses run their benefits and their payroll and HR and all that. Give them a call today for a no-obligation review of what you're doing, 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, back to the governor. This was last Thursday at a press conference where he was fielding a series of questions related to the First Lady and the Hope Florida Foundation scandal and the federal investigation, if there is one, and the grand jury investigation, there definitely is one. And it's a little hard to hear this question, but what the woman is going to say is, did the First Lady get called to testify in any connection to all of this?
No. Why would she have? Because you have activated these other organs of society that have been in and have filled this really important role. And to do this, we're going to continue to expand, and we're going to continue to work hard to help people.
I'm sorry. That's my fault. I edited that to start at the wrong place. Here, this is the better context.
No. Why would she have? She wasn't. Why would she have? I'm asking you, why would she have?
Do you ever involve her with Hope Florida?
She wasn't involved in anything that they were alleging. Zero involvement in anything they were alleging. Now, what they were alleging was BS, but zero involvement, not 1 cent. It wasn't her charity. Some of you people said she had her own charity. She never had her own charity. This is the state of Florida's charity that our Department of Children and Families has, just like our Education Department has a charity, just like our Corrections has a charity, because there are things you can do through that, or they can do through that, that work.
So, and which I have said also, again, repeatedly, it wasn't her. It was not her charity. It's a state charity. She's right about that. He's right about that. But why would you testify? Well, because lots of people connected to this might testify. I mean, it's not an unfair question, frankly.
Anytime you guys are trying to link her to that, you're lying to people. You're intentionally trying to smear because people like you don't like the fact that this is a conservative approach that is embracing the faith community. You don't want the faith community involved in this. That's not where your orientation or your political philosophy. I get it. I understand that. But the reality is what she's done has been very successful.
I cannot tell if he's got a sneeze he can't get out, or if he's having an allergic reaction to the pollen, or if he's crying, or he's upset because his wife is being... I don't know what the reaction is. It's weird, the way he's talking, the tone of it all. But now people who are raising these questions and the media all hate the faith community and don't want Hope Florida... Because he had spent a long time explaining why Hope Florida was very effective at solving problems and getting people connected to resources and working through churches, and all of which I love. I actually think the program is quite good. The program itself, and even having a foundation to fundraise for it, is perfectly fine. None of that's the issue. The entire issue is the redirecting of this $10 million of state Medicaid money with no oversight, no accountability, and then using it for a political action campaign. I mean, that's the issue. It has nothing to do with Casey. It has nothing to do with the validity or the usefulness of Hope Florida. That's why when people get asked the question, they start talking about the Hope Florida operation. I'm like, that's smoke, man. You're missing the point, right? But to now say it's all rhinos and political smears and lefty media and people who hate the faith community, like, which piece next out of the bag of hack attacks can you bring up? You know, it's all deflection, man.
Any inclination that somehow she was involved in anything is just false. And that's been true from, if you looked at it 5 minutes after this started to make news, anybody who was honest would have said that. And yet I wonder why you can't bring yourself to say the same thing.
Again, I don't know kind of what's going on with him there, but the louder, weirder, angrier personal kinds of attacks just make me more suspicious. You know how, I don't know, when you're just right, you react one way. Well, I mean, of course there hasn't been an investigation. When you want people to believe that you're right, you get loud and abrasive and distracting. Usually. So, I'm not going to make that. Historically speaking, when people turn out to be lying about something, and I'm not saying he's lying, I'm just historically, you look back and look at their comments and they were the loudest, most obnoxious, most adamant, right? You know, the people who just turn out to be true are usually people who are like, I mean, what? No, don't do that. Now, fast forward a little bit to yesterday. This is the part of the reason I want to talk about this is Jay Collins, Lieutenant Governor, who was at Santa Rosa County, the Santa Rosa Correctional Institution yesterday, the state prison yesterday, was asked about this in his press conference afterwards. By the way, we did a whole last hour, the 5 o'clock hour, talked quite a bit about the whole corrections things. I'm not talking about that here. This is a question from the crowd. Well, from one of the reporters asked him about the Hope Florida investigation.
I also wanted to ask you about the Hope Florida investigation. Mm-hmm. The governor says it's over. Representative Andrade says he won't believe it until that DOJ statement comes out. So what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's over?
Yeah, you know, I believe our governor. I'm sure that he is not misspeaking on this. Ultimately, for those of us who have been around this, it's not a big surprise. I know Hope Florida is an amazing tool. It can make a difference in the lives of people. And I'm going to actually take a step back from my role as Lieutenant Governor on here. And I'm going to talk about a kid who grew up on welfare, on and off of what I call commodity cheese. You know, it really was shocking what I didn't know, what opportunities I didn't know existed. And having somebody offer you an opportunity to figure out how the system works, to plug you into support that's not going to put you on a government program, but going to give you an opportunity to get out there. It's a way to get them on their feet and moving forward and learn and grow as a person. What an incredible tool. You know, I wish that we'd had these things when I was growing up. You know, I remember so many people trapped by welfare, trapped by the system, not because they didn't want to get out, but because they didn't know where to go, how to turn. Some of that's probably because they didn't have internet then, but, you know, the modern aspect of it very much is a welcome addition. And I look forward to, however this thing moves forward, Hope Florida being a critical tool to help get people off of welfare and live their American dream more appropriately.
That is a long, great, wonderful commentary that has nothing to do with the question he was asked. He was asked about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal and investigation, and he says, I trust DeSantis, and here's why Hope Florida is really good. Well, sure. And by the way, in the grand scheme of things, the $10 million redirection and misuse as a political funding mechanism, that's bad, maybe criminal. But in the grand scheme of compared to the good that Hope Florida is doing, I mean, the organization does fantastic good stuff. And that's actually, I wish the governor would just be more forthcoming about this, because then we could get past it and we could really focus on the good stuff like Jay Collins is saying there. But yeah, telling me Hope Florida is great as an answer to a question about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal is misdirection. That's smoke. That's deflection. Which tells me something too. You know, or it's not really his baby. I mean, it's, you know, he wasn't even the lieutenant governor when all this happened, right? I got to think about that. I think that's correct, time-wise. Anyway, so, you know, you draw from what you will, but you've heard kind of my opinion. 437-1620, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right, still rolling accident-free and delay-free right now. I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Honey, that flu keeping you up? Did you take NyQuil Intense Flu?
Nah, I got this. Okay, I don't got this.
Yeah, you need NyQuil Intense Flu.
Undo your flu with NyQuil Intense Flu. NyQuil Intense Flu provides powerful relief of your flu symptoms so you can sleep.
You do got this.
NyQuil Intense Flu. The nighttime sniffling, aching, fever, best sleep with the flu, medicine. Use as directed, keep out of reach of children.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Whoa, this is heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What?
Good morning, 628, News Radio 92.3, fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. this morning. Do be careful while you're driving around. If you have a kid who is struggling with math and wasn't always, or who always has struggled with math, it doesn't really matter. Mathnasium is there as a resource, and what they do, and I'm a big believer. My son taught there for a year. We're dear friends with the owners, like two of our best friends. They love the idea of teaching kids math. They know how important it is, and the trick is, every kid can learn math. Anybody can learn math. The question is finding the ways that they will learn it, that they will understand it. Not a lot of times the parent, you know, well, they're learning a new way that I didn't learn. How do I teach them? All that stuff, okay? Bring them into Mathnasium for a completely free assessment. They sit down, they take a test, and you can figure out what do they know, what don't they know for their grade level, where are they at, where are they ahead, where are they behind, what are they missing, and then they develop a plan for solving that. for fixing it, for helping your kids enjoy math and do better and like going to math class and all that. 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. 90% see better grades. It works. Go to the Mathnasium. Just stop by next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. I was working on something. Hold on. Let me. ransom deadline for Nancy Guthrie has expired. Authorities say no payment has been made there. In a new video post, today's show host Savannah Guthrie is pleading with the public for any help. Discord has unveiled some new age verification systems. Now, this is going to start in March, Andrew, and the communications platform says they're going to shift all users by default into a teen-appropriate experience. Once you verify your age, then you can get access to more restricted content settings.
Very good. Hey, I mean, it sounds like Discord, which is an extremely widely used platform for basically anybody who's between like 10 and 25, maybe 15 and 25, right? 30-year-olds aren't using Discord. Are they? John, are you using Discord?
Well, yeah, for gaming.
Oh, now you do? Okay, so gamers use it. All right, fair enough. But I mean, like, everybody in the young age.
Fox News, I'm Gianna DeLosi. Today's show host Savannah Guthrie with another plea to the public in the search for her mother, Nancy.
We are at an hour of desperation. And we need your help.
A second reported ransom deadline passed yesterday. Police have not named a person of interest in the 84-year-old's disappearance. There's a Valentine's Day deadline to fund DHS, and Republicans and Democrats are locked in a standoff over ICE reforms.
Democrats have 10 demands to, as they say, rein in ICE. It includes targeted enforcement, no masks for immigration agents, and requiring DHS officers to provide ID. Democratic leadership say they received a Republican counterproposal yesterday. They called it, quote, both incomplete and insufficient in terms of addressing the concerns Americans have about ISIS lawless conduct.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a foggy start to the day right now. It is 55 degrees. We'll get to our forecast. That's up in just a couple of minutes with Brooke Richardson. The city of Pensacola is moving forward with emergency repairs for Scenic Highway after engineers warned that erosion has made the roadway unstable. An outflow pipe near the Hyde Park Road failed in August. The cliff and the road have now reportedly been washing away. City Administrator David Stafford says erosion is now creeping close to the road. The city is expected to vote on Thursday on an easement agreement with FDOT. More than 80 protected trees are at risk during this construction process, and that does include 7 heritage oaks. $12 million in federal funding has been approved for the Blue Angels hangar at NAS Pensacola. Congressman Jimmy Petronas says that money is specifically tagged for restoration and replacement of the aging facility.
The price on it is a moving target. If you look at the hangars that were built out at the airport, the current airport, they were, I believe, they're each under $100 million. But the way things have to be built going through the Department of Defense, they cost, multiples of that.
And Petronas says Undersecretary of the Navy Hung Cao recently visited and they discussed ways to speed up military infrastructure projects. An additional $3 million was also approved for the South Navy Boulevard Improvement Project. A candidate for Senate is promising an end to the chaos and to crush the corruption. That's at least according to Democrat Alex Vindman. Yesterday, he spoke in Miami-Dade County in a campaign event. He's running against Senator Ashley Moody. Vindman said Moody would be an automatic yes for the GOP agenda. Well, St. Petersburg won't have to foot the entire bill for repairs to Tropicana Field. Assistant City Administrator Tom Green there announcing yesterday that FEMA will cover about $16.5 million of the repair costs. Now, there's no word when the city will get that money, though. The stadium's roof was damaged by Hurricane Milton in 2024. The city plans to have repairs complete by the start of the Major League Baseball season. A new turf is being installed this week. It's 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson, get a look at our forecast.
We are going to be seeing mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Going to be looking at a chance of some morning fog for that Wednesday morning. Then by Wednesday afternoon, partly sunny skies, 20% chance of some stray showers, high near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Going into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 69 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 55, we've got a very foggy morning. On that note, let's check in with John Pickens and see how that's affecting your morning drive.
Well, good news is no accidents or delays to report to you right now. Seems like everybody's slowing down, taking their time this morning due to the dense fog advisory until 9 a.m. Yes?
Well, it's not that there's no accidents. It's that nobody can see them.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, so nobody can see any accidents or delays, so that's the best part. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, John, and with the special cameo there, Andrew. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. And your next news is at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Coca-Cola has reported its fourth quarter earnings this morning. Revenue came in at roughly $11.8 billion compared to the roughly $12 billion that was expected. Shares of Coca-Cola have risen roughly 22% over the last year, raising its market value up to about $335 billion. CVS reported fourth quarter earnings and revenue as well that beat estimates and reaffirmed this year's profit guidance that previously impressed investors. CVS sees full year profit coming in between $7 to $7.20 per share and maintained its revenue guidance of at least $400 billion. Alibaba has launched an artificial intelligence model designed to power robotics as more tech giants push into the fast growing field. Alibaba's new AI model is called WinBrain and it's focused on powering robots. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow gained 20, reaching a new record high once again. The NASDAQ up 207. That's your money now.
It's game day. Are your moderate to severe Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keeping you from the action? Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, could help you get back to the game. Skyrizi is proven to help people feel significant symptom relief, achieve remission, and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine for adults. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's or ulcerative colitis.
Control is everything to me.
Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at Skyrizi.com or 1-866-SKYRIZI.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risks. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Because he was on that plastic chair in the Super Bowl halftime show?
Well, I wouldn't know, but I'm going to agree, yes. She bangs, she bangs.
I was reading the thing the other day that said that, yesterday actually, not the other day, about the halftime shows doing, like, you know, here's the things that you might not have picked up on, but like the plastic chairs were intentional because that's very common in Puerto Rico to be out in the, you know, out in the yard in the plastic chairs or whatever. So, you know, okay, fair enough. So interesting. I got some interesting stuff here that's going on. This is a fascinating one to me. If you're a Republican, typically you want voter ID. Why? Because you want to prevent voter fraud. Because probably you believe that Democrats engage in it more than Republicans or a lot. And the reason you think that they don't want voter ID is because they're big fans of fraud. I know a lot of Democrats, I mean, there may be some. I mean, I did grow up in Chicago, so, you know, where everybody alive votes once, everybody dead votes twice, and everybody who's a dead Democrat votes five times, right? I mean, okay.
You know.
Yeah. All right. But I know a lot of Democrats who don't want fraud either. I mean, seriously. They believe in America just like you do. You know, so don't be too quick to assume that. So then, okay, well, if they don't want fraud, then why is it that they aren't big fans of voter ID? Oh, because they think that poor people are discriminated against by the requirement to go pay money and go through the process of getting an ID. And you say, what do you mean poor people don't have IDs? Yeah. Sometimes. Or it can be challenging. If they don't drive, why do you have an ID? Well, because I drive. Yeah. And? How many poor people don't have cars? If you don't have a car, do you get a driver's license? Well, you know, okay, it's not a ridiculous point of view. The notion is you're putting a barrier up to people who want to participate in their entitlement to vote as citizens of the United States. Now, again, I know that, you know, if you're on the pro-voter ID side, and I am, that you say, well, you know, this is how you prevent illegal immigrants from voting. This is how you prevent people who have been, you know, felons, fraud in general, okay? So, as a solution to this problem, and, you know, President Trump has been calling for the, you know, nationalization of at least this slice of elections. I don't think he has constitutional authority to do it, but it's kind of an open question. You know, typically states run elections under the constitutional system. And so, you know, to the degree the feds can get involved, it's fairly limited authority. I suppose we'll find out over time if Congress ever actually passes the, you know, the act or whatever. But here's one Republican legislator anyway, who I thought came up with a very, very sensible solution to this problem, something that I also support. I'd never thought about it, but it makes perfect sense to me. He says, okay, so getting an ID is a financial, I mean, it does cost money. And so even if you don't get a driver's license, you know, getting an ID is a bit of a challenge. So Brian Steil, I think is how you say his name, S-T-E-I-L, from Wisconsin, Republican, he says, let's just make IDs free. Since having an ID, whether driver's license or just, you know, state ID, is so important for all kinds of things like getting on a plane or getting a job or getting your benefits or, you know, whatever. Having an ID is valuable and often a requirement. Well, let's just make them free. I'm totally on board because this completely defangs the objection of why people, it's too much of a burden to get one. Now, it still does take time to get one, you know, but at least let's take away the cost and why not provide people the opportunity to get, you know, if it's something the government is issuing and the government wants people to have and we make your access to a whole bunch of things contingent upon having it, done. Dude, simple. I want as many people who want to vote and are eligible to vote. Now, I prefer them to be highly informed. I know that's never going to happen. So, and you cannot limit people's access to voting on the basis of what Andrew McKay thinks people should know in order to vote. I mean, yes, a voter test. How many Supreme Court justices are there? Who's the vice president? Who's your congressman? I don't know. You know, how many amendments are in the Bill of Rights? Something even more simple than the test for citizenship, which I wouldn't mind having that be the test, frankly. You can't vote unless you can pass a citizenship test. You have to repass it every decade. I don't know. Simple procedures. We're not going to do that. It might even be unconstitutional to do that. It probably would require an amendment to let that happen. But, okay, that's not going to happen. But if we are going to have voter ID requirements, which, again, I absolutely support, well, let's make it so there's a low, as low as possible barrier to them getting the ID. Make it free. 437-1620, John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Culver's. Try the Club Chicken Sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app, Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, and Milton. Culver's, welcome to Delicious. Still reporting accident-free. If you can see that, dense fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. This morning. So please slow down, take your time. Not seeing any delays either. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. People are texting me in about this issue saying that even Democrats strongly support voter ID. You need a bank. You need an ID to open a bank account, to get hired. You need it for all kinds of things aside from voting, to buy alcohol, for example. Somebody else says having a lower expectation for poor people that they cannot get an ID is actually a form of bigotry. It's the sort of reverse bigotry. You know, it's you're not saying they're bad, but you're implying that they're incompetent because they can't even get something as simple as a voter ID. It, by the way, the history on this. The people who are against the voter ID from the cost side, or if they say that, it's because there's something that feels similar to the old poll tax concept. You know, there's something that sort of feels like putting restrictions that primarily burden poor and or minority citizens. That's where the history of this is. It doesn't mean that that's what it actually does. It doesn't mean that it's really that much of an impediment. I'm just telling you, if you want to understand the issue, you have to understand that historically, that's been part of the other side. And a lot of that stuff was genuinely designed to thwart people, poor and minorities, from being able to participate in democracy. That's actually true. 437-1620, somebody says half of all Americans don't have a passport, and others don't have their birth certificates. And no, I agree. There are some challenges. And even with that, we need to find a way to accommodate that problem. Maybe you give them an ID that's not a real ID, you know, compliant. I don't know. But, yeah, if we're going to say people need to be able to have an ID to vote, then we need to find a way to get them an ID because we want to make sure that everybody who's a citizen gets it. And, frankly, and I know some conservatives may hate me saying it this way, but just like in law enforcement, we want to presume innocent before proven guilty. We want to, you know, we want to release 9 guilty people in trade for not convicting 1 innocent person, right? I'm even willing to take some fraud, even a fair degree of fraudulent IDs, as long as I don't deprive any actual citizens of their right to vote. Every single actual citizen should have the right to vote. And this is an easy one because just put yourself in the position of being a citizen who gets told they can't vote. You'd be furious, and rightly so. So we're going to err on the side of allowing wiggle room that allows for fraudulent voting in order to protect the right of every single person to actually vote who's legitimately able to do it. Nobody ever talks about that out loud, I don't think. Nobody ever makes that statement. But I think, wouldn't you agree that I want zero fraud? But, you know, I'm going to want a lot of things. So, but it's more important to make sure that everybody who is allowed to vote gets to vote than it is to prevent even, you know, in trade, a multiple, you know, amount of fraud compared to that person's vote. At least that's my view. I mean, you can feel free to disagree with me. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, I know when I say a used car place, you think like, well, okay, Andrew, I have bought used cars before. It's not fun. I understand. And so do they. I mean, they know that, A, the process of getting a car, you know, it's usually frustrating. You're going to have to spend money. You're going to, you know, you're maybe stressed because something's happened to your car. And, you know, it's never the most pleasant thing in the world, unless you're John Pickens and he's weird. But for most people, you know, you don't get up in the morning thinking, eh, I get to go look for a car today. No, not really. So they know. And then they know that, like, typically used car places make you feel icky or worse. You know, like they're taking advantage of you. You go through this process. Well, they try to do everything not that way. If you want to talk to a salesperson, talk to a salesperson. If you don't really want to talk to them, say, leave me alone. They will. You know, it's fine. You want to talk about prices? Cool. You don't want to talk about prices? Cool. You want to drive some cars? Cool. You want to sit in some cars? Cool. Whatever. You want more information? Great. You don't? Great. Whatever. They just want to make it easy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community a different way for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Leadership Pensacola Class of 2026, our community's premier leadership development program, is turning leadership into action.
Take a leap with us.
The Leadership Class of 2026 is stepping forward to create a healing garden for Gulf Coast Kids House.
A calming space designed to support children on their healing journey.
Together, we can turn leadership into lasting impact.
Lead with purpose and build healing.
To support this project, visit PensacolaChamber.com.
Join us in growing hope.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
Oh, yes.
Bruh!
My name is Doug. I have just met you, and I love you.
Ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga, ooga shaka, ooga, ooga.
I can't stop this feeling.
Ooga, ooga,
deep inside of me.
Shaka, ooga, ooga.
Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me.
I'm getting a lot of texts in about the voter ID thing. It's interesting. Somebody says, okay, I'm letting it play because we've got to let it get to this good part, right? I mean, you have to let it get there.
That's what I was wondering.
Cut that off before it gets
oh,
to that
I
part.
Know.
I mean,
that's
like
I
a
about,
moral violation.
I was
know?
About to throw a pen at you or something.
You have to do penance if you cut that song off before it gets to the payoff. 437-1620. First thing, I got a text in here from Scott Lunsford who says that the homeless IDs are free now.
Do what?
He said they gave out 61 IDs to homeless people at the point in time count.
Well, that's great.
I know. Awesome. Because, you know, and somebody else texts in and says a lot of times what happens is somebody's homeless, they run afoul of the law, you know, and then they don't have an ID, and then they get in trouble for that, you know, I mean, yeah, which is all bad. Yeah, I agree. That's all. So, and somebody else says, In some states, you know, you got to get a birth certificate, social security card. There can be a cost associated with those. Do we make those both free? I'm like, well, yeah, of course. And they're like, agreed. You know, somebody else says also voting. Is it a right or is it a privilege? It's a right. It's a right. If somebody interferes with your right to vote, then they are interfering with your constitutional rights. A privilege is something that you have to earn. You don't have to earn voting. If you think it's a driving is a privilege, voting is a right. I mean, it's kind of that simple. Somebody says, I think you're overthinking this thing about voting. People have the right to vote, but they also have the right to make sure that they have ID to vote. Okay, you do have to register, but I also think registration ought to be easy. I have a tension here. As a constitutionalist, I believe that we ought to do everything we can to get as many people registered to vote as want to vote. So I don't have any problem with, like, you know, registering to vote when you get your driver's license or whatever. You know, doing as much as we can to get people registered to vote, that also should be very easy. On the other hand, there is the kind of, I don't know, you want to call me an elitist or an aristocrat or whatever. I do get frustrated thinking that the average person who, you know, can't spell basic words and doesn't know how many amendments there are, and, you know, is their vote counts against mine. But that is the system, baby. That is the system. And even though there is a part of me that would very much like to see some kind of basic competency test, again, the citizenship test, under the current law, I will absolutely fight to protect your right to vote, even though you know nothing, and show it every day on social media. I will protect, you know, the people who disagree with me vehemently. Anyway, let's see. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Well, we've got a couple accidents that just happened. Let's see here. On I-10 eastbound, right there at the Highway 29 exit, and traffic is starting to back up there. So just be aware of that, as we have a dense fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. this morning. Other than that little issue, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Top immigration officials from ICE, Customs and Border Protection, and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services will be testifying before a House committee today. The hearing follows two deadly ICE-involved shootings in Minneapolis and growing pressure on the Trump administration to scale back enforcement operations. It also comes as Democrats voted against a Department of Homeland Security funding deal, raising concerns about the possibility of yet another government shutdown. Got some Illinois news for you. Republican State Senator Andrew Chesney there has introduced legislation that would expand the state's definition of mental illness to include transgender identity. Chesney says that bill is meant to prevent radical gender ideology from influencing state law. And Canadian Airlines are suspending flights to Cuba due to a jet fuel shortage on the island. The shortage follows U.S. efforts to block oil and fuel shipments, including supplies from Venezuela.
10 planes enter, 3 planes leave. Is that what you're telling me? They can't get fueled up for the return flight. Interesting. So, and that's kind of what we've always been saying, is that, you know, Venezuela is a primary supplier of, you know, illegally, the oil that they get in Cuba, and, you know, that's going to have an impact on what Cuba is doing as well. Interesting, David. Thanks so much for the update. 657 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this is kind of, just a couple of quick interesting notes. One is, obviously, there's been a lot of conversation around the hiring of Chief Winstrom to be the head of the PPD. And the union, which had come out in favor of Chief Goss, has now also issued a statement that they support Chief Winstrom, of course, now that he's been selected. It's a very brief statement, came out the other day. The Fraternal Order of Police welcomes Chief Winstrom and the experience he brings to Pensacola. It's important we invest in the future success of Chief Winstrom, just as we expect him to invest in us. Our members remain committed to professionalism and to fulfilling our mission without distraction, as we do every day. We will continue working to make this community safer for those that live, work, and visit here. The Fraternal Order of Police will continue to advocate for leadership that respects our department, supports our members, and understands the realities of the job. We will remain engaged, unified, and focused on ensuring that our officers have the support and respect we deserve. Respectfully, Jim Parsons, President, FOP 71. Good. I mean, good. You know, if you come out, they didn't come out against Winstrom. They came out for Chief Goss. But, I mean, it's both, because not both can get the job. And so now them clarifying, or now them saying, you know, hey, here we are. Let's go. You know, which is exactly what we expected from our police, because, you know, they're such great professionals. Another very interesting bill. I think this bill has been misunderstood by some people. It's an agricultural language bill against agricultural disparagement. And that, I know, catches people's attention because it's basically that you cannot say false things that create a disparaging perception of Florida agricultural products that have that are perishable. And you say, the what now? You can't defame agricultural products. You can't say, for example, that oranges are dangerous or bad, or that avocados are dangerous or bad, or presumably that like raw milk is dangerous or bad, or that eggs or something like that. Now, what's interesting about this bill, and I think this is where somebody had forwarded it to me and said, did you see this? It looks like a free speech restriction. Okay, yeah, but if you cause economic damage, okay, I get that. The bill is already in law. It is already illegal to disparage agriculture. It's been that way for 30 years. This bill is actually seeking to create some clarification around that law so that if you, for example, speak out against processed foods as being unhealthy, that you cannot be prosecuted under this 30-year-old law against agricultural disparagement. So this is actually limiting the current...
Listen on air at 92.